Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall, up early to start your day with Chicago Sports Talk on 670 The Score.
Presenting Brian Urlacher for enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Shotgun snap is back to Hasselbeck. Pressure intercepted by Brian Urlacher. 45 running left. Urlacher to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown Bears.
To the Chicago Bears, the charter franchise of National Football League history. First, I must acknowledge the fans. I never got a chance to say goodbye. The best fans in the world. Even when we stunk, they sit in their seats at Soldier Field freezing their butts off every time. And in case you didn't know, our fans love defense.
Rodgers in the shotgun. Rodgers under a blitz. Pockets tight. Hit by Urlacher. And down he goes. Sacked by Lack.
The most coveted position in pro football for a defensive player is to play middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears. Just think about it. The history of this position is unmatched by any other team. Bill George, Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, and now, I can barely say it, me.
Blitz is on. He sets the throw, and it is picked up by Urlacher. Running right of the 40. There's nobody around him. Brian Urlacher coasting down the right sideline. 20, 10, a Sunday stroll to the end zone. Brian Urlacher, touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
I hope over my 13 seasons, I made all of you Bears fans proud.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. And let's bring in the Hall of Famer himself. He is Brian Urlacher, working with the Special Olympics and United Airlines. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Hello again, Brian.
Good morning. Can you guys omit my speaking from the introduction, please, or just put the highlights on there next time? I don't like hearing my voice.
No?
Yeah.
You've done a lot of talk in the past year.
Yes, I have, but I don't like hearing it.
You know, Brian, let's start there. You know, a year ago at this time, I can remember going, you were headed to Minnesota. You really didn't want to go to Minneapolis. You weren't sure what was going to happen next. You got the knock at the door from David Baker. The long wait was over. You became a Hall of Famer. How would you describe how your life has changed in the past year? You have done a lot of talk, and you have done a lot of appearances as the Hall of Famer. What's that been like?
It's been fun. Very excited to be back at the Super Bowl for another reason, to be speaking on behalf of United. It was part of the Special Olympics, and it was trying to kind of raise awareness about what's going on with people with intellectual disabilities and raise awareness on how to deal with them and stuff like that. So much different this year than last year, going to the Hall of Fame. You know, that was fun. A little nerve-wracking, though, David, you know, as I talked to you about. You were there the whole time with me talking about it, everything. We kind of documented it, going through it.
Brian, yeah. Hold on one second. We know that you don't like to hear yourself speak, but we'd like to hear what you say. We're having an issue with the phone line.
That happens every now and then. Yeah, but
we'll try to clean that line up.
You remember a year ago? It was like that being in Minneapolis. The Super Bowl week was
Did you just say that he after that last year it ended the long wait? That's not really a long wait. Brian Urlacher got into Hall of Fame like right away. I mean, I'm just saying, no one was hesitating putting him in.
Well, it felt longer than it probably. Yeah, it was the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well,
but,
I'm just saying, it was the mandatory wait time.
It wasn't that long of a wait. You didn't have to wait that long.
I don't mean to.
You're back, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
I'm back.
All right, now we can hear you.
Yeah, that's better.
It's a lot better. I'm sorry. What were you saying about the Special Olympics? Because I know you've done a lot of good work with them, and that obviously an event that was created in Chicago and one near and dear to all our hearts. Our boss Mitch Rosen is very much involved in the Chicago area stuff.
Well, so you know, my whole career I was pretty much involved with Special Olympics. With I left tickets every home game for some of the Olympians. Did the Polar Plunge last year. I didn't actually do it, but I was there cooking food for people that did it. Does that count still?
No.
I didn't jump in Lake Michigan.
We got to see you in there.
I was there being a part of the event, so I was happy to be a part of that.
Well, if anyone did it now, I mean, seriously.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to do it now. No, you wouldn't live.
No, you would literally freeze in the air or something, right? It's like you take the hot cup of water and throw it in the air and it dissipates. You would jump in the river and then you'd just they'd find you with the woolly mammoth and, you know, another century and a half.
Yeah.
What, Brian, what is it like for you to be at the Super Bowl? And obviously we talked to you at the Senior Bowl about at the Pro Bowl about your first memory of the Pro Bowl. But, I mean, you went to a Super Bowl, and you remember the excitement of that. And you know, this is a very interesting thing because nine times in a row for Brady and Belichick, not in a row, nine times. I would imagine it doesn't get old, but you went there once, and a lot of Rams are there for the first time. What are they going through?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You think you're always going to get back here, and we did expect you that year. We had a good football team, and we thought we were going to be good for a long time, but we never got back. And the, I mean, like you said, the Patriots nine times. It's unheard of. You know, I mean, they expect to be in this game every year, and they're probably the only team. Obviously, they can do it. You know, every year they get to the AFC Championship game. I think they made it to eight or nine in a row AFC Championships. It's crazy to me to think of what they've done and what they've been able to accomplish. But for the Rams, you know, it's a football game. They need to realize that they're going to be here. They're here to play a game. Hopefully by now, you know, Thursday, Friday, you start rolling into your game mode and getting all the media out of the way. They won't let you have access to the media, you know, after Thursday or Friday. So they start getting into game mode.
Brian, what can you tell us about the Super Bowl commercial for NFL 100 that you taped? Mike Singletary, Dick Butkus, looked like Peyton Manning was involved. How much fun was that? Where was that?
That was in L.A. There's a lot of people involved in that commercial, a lot of all-time greats. I was just happy to be asked to be a part of it, honestly. You know, I didn't know how that came about, but they called, and I was like, heck yeah, I'd like to do it. So we did it in L.A. On my commercial, I think there's a trailer with me and Fitz sitting at a table, and then there's a couple other things happen. I don't want to give too much away, but there's a couple other things that happened in our part as well. But it was fun to be a part of that. And we weren't all there at the same time, obviously. But when I was there, it was pretty fun.
Brian, I heard Tom Brady say something yesterday I thought was really interesting. He said that the reason he's able to do the comebacks and the reason that he's able to play as well as he does later in games is that he understands that the longer the game goes on, the more exhausted a defense becomes. And the advantage, which a lot of people believe now with the rules, is in the offense's favor anyway, becomes even more in the offense's favor. And that you have an understanding that when you get the ball at the end of a game, you're going to be able to go down the field because of different elements that are involved.
I do agree with what he says about, you know, the rules are swayed to the offense. But, you know, you do get tired during the game. If you're playing 65, 70 snaps a game, you're going to get worn out. You know, it's hard to stay fresh when you play that many snaps. And, you know, they're so good at what they do. You know, there's never mental errors by the Patriots offensively. Defensively, they don't make mistakes. And I think when you get tired as a defense, that's when you start making mistakes. You know, you start not thinking clearly. You start thinking about what you shouldn't be thinking about, and you make mistakes. And that's when the Patriots get you. Not that they don't get you when you're thinking straight as well, but, you know, the longer the game goes on, I think the bigger advantage, like you said, goes to the offense, especially Brady and Belichick.
Brian, how do you see this one unfolding? Because I would expect Sean McVay and the Rams to come out aggressively. They are going to stay true to character and form. And I think the Patriots probably will as well, trying to the short passing game, maybe isolated running game. But I think it's going to be a match of strength on strength. But where's going to be the crack? Where do you think this game is going to turn?
It's interesting because, in my opinion, the Rams have matched up well with the Patriots offense. You know, their defense is really – good players at every level of their defense, secondary wise, up front, they're pretty much as good as anybody in the league with Donald and Sue in the middle. If they can get pressure with just four guys, I think they can, you know, maybe hit Brady a little bit, get him thinking, move him around. But, you know, Belichick can do something to offset that. He always does. I mean, personally, I like to see the Rams win because I'm tired of the Patriots winning. Much like everybody else, the jealousy factor sets in and you just want to see somebody else win. So I would like to see the Rams come out on top. But I hope it's a good game. You know, it's not fun when the Super Bowls aren't close. I hope it's a close game.
It seems like, you know, Sue is such an important piece of this thing because we know Aaron Donald's going to be there. If Sue called it playoff Sue. It's a different guy than you see during the regular season.
The last couple of games, he's played much better. You know, he showed up. And, you know, you think you have to stop Donald, and you do. And during the regular season, Sue didn't show up a lot of times when Donald was doubled, and in the playoffs he has. So, it was paying off at the right time. Maybe he's feeling fresh. Maybe he's just figuring out. I don't know, but he's playing well right now, and that's a big deal.
So, Brian, 8 million people watched the Pro Bowl. We were among them. It looked like a rainy, long day.
Yeah.
You only scored 7 points. How long after, as the NFC Legends captain, did you fire your offensive coordinator?
It was tough conditions, man. It's I don't know. You know, the AFC blitzed a couple times, so you're not supposed to blitz in that game. They had a safety get a sack. There might have possibly been an outside edge rusher brushing at one point as well. So they definitely stretched the rules a little bit, but they got away with it, so why not? But, yeah, it was a tough game. You know, the weather didn't help any. But the players had a good time. That's really what that game's all about, is going out there and having fun and trying to put on a show for the people that were there and watch it on TV.
Sean McVay said something interesting yesterday. He talked about the difficulty with the Belichick defense. Said that they don't play a particular brand or style of defense. They just match up with you. And
yeah,
you do see that with him. He will do things that you didn't expect.
Well, I feel like he just tries to take away what you're good at. You know, he finds what you're good at and tries to take that away. But with the Rams, you're going to take away Gurley. You're going to take away the passing game. What are you going to do? They have so many things they do well. I think you have to try and pick one and just, you know, maybe take away the run game if you can. But then the Rams are so good at throwing the football, it's going to be tough. But they'll, you know, Belichick's got something in place that there's nothing he hasn't seen or nothing he hasn't prepared for. So he'll be ready for it and have a good game plan for his guys.
Great stuff, Brian. Appreciate it.
All right.
What can people?
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Okay, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
That's Brian Urlacher, former Bear Hall of Famer.
Yeah, making an appearance on behalf of United in Special Olympics this week in Atlanta.
Yeah, they're doing some work together.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
I think last week is a great representation of the mental toughness that he has. That atmosphere was as loud as I've ever been a part of. I know it was for him, and I thought the way that he handled it, just staying even-keeled, not being fazed, has been exactly what we've kind of seen from him throughout in the 2 years that we've been together with him with our staff.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That's Sean McVay, and he's talking about Jared Goff, the quarterback, the even keel, and how well he played last week. You know, he's yet to throw two touchdown passes in a single playoff game.
Yeah, and that's one way to look at it. That's the way the Rams have to look at it. The fact that, okay, they won the game. Jared Goff persevered, and I sort of liken it to the way that in Chicago looked at Mitch Trubisky's playoff performance against the Eagles. There was a lot to like based on the fourth quarter, but until getting there wasn't so fun. And I think that when you look at Jared Goff, you wonder, will the fact that he was rattled in that environment, the fact that he was obviously clearly shaky and it affected his performance in the NFC Championship game, is it going to take him two quarters to gain his composure on the biggest stage, you know, that he's played on yet? And I wonder about that combined with Bill Belichick and the Patriots' defense ability to do what we talked about earlier, is to isolate something about the Rams scheme and try to take it away, and how the Rams adjust to that. Can Jared Goff process all of this in that environment quickly enough to make an impact?
You seem to be leaning toward the Rams. Away from the Rams, I mean. You're toward the Pats, right?
You know, I'm sitting here talking about, again, the football arguments, the skill position, the talent of the roster. Everything that you look at, Gurley, Goff, Cooks, and then the defensive linemen, and you think, wow, Aaron Donald, Sue, the cornerbacks. But then you think, well, I don't know that I trust that. I don't know if I trust talent as much as I do pedigree. And I think that's the one thing is a collision here of the better team, the better football team in terms of the way you evaluate football players versus, you know, it's just the mystique of the Patriots is difficult to say. Yeah, it doesn't get you a first down. It doesn't get you a three and out. It doesn't get you anything tangible, but it's
maybe
hard.
Maybe it does. Maybe self-belief gets you farther than you think.
It's an intangible.
Definitely. I haven't made my pick yet, but I think it's really hard to go against the Patriots. And having said that, I think I'm going against the Patriots. I think that you know, the Rams probably shouldn't be there. The Rams probably played in their toughest environment last week and overcame it in a lot of ways. The Rams probably have more talent up and down. You know, and again, I think the Rams have pretty good coaching. I don't know. you know, I think they've got some real good coaches on that staff. It's not as lopsided as some of these matchups have been. And Belichick's great. And
what gives you the most pause, though, against the Rams?
What gives me the biggest pause is that I was convinced going into the playoffs, going into this game, that the guy that you have to worry about is Todd Gurley. That Todd Gurley, you have to design a game plan to stop Gurley, and then you stop the Rams. And then the Rams won the game without him, which I didn't see coming.
C.J. Anderson, no slouch.
Well, I mean, no slouch, but I don't know that you built. Yeah.
Fat dick. I don't care.
Look, what I have the biggest concern about,
just
if I'm
– meet me in the hole one day.
But I'm saying they're totally different players. It's a bowling ball versus, you know, the ultimate weapon type guy. And it really just kind of confounds me.
But both are effective.
That they, the fact that they got through that crowd in New Orleans, it seems like that was the game that they could have lost. That was the game. That was the moment. You know,
so you're sold on
home,
Jared Goff. You're sold on Jared Goff on this stage because that's, to me.
I'm sold on McVay.
I'm sold on. He's in his ear.
In his head, yes. And I think that he'll be able to see things and do things. I think the guy, I can't believe they're here. And I think it gives me a pause because I didn't expect it. And now I think I would actually like Belichick more over Sean Payton than Sean McVay, as stupid as that sounds.
Well, I think the voice in his head is Sean McVay and talking about Jared Goff.
And he'll be able to hear him this time.
But I don't know, and he will be able to hear him because Super Bowl crowds aren't partisan either way. They'll be loud. There may be more Patriots fans than Rams fans, but it certainly won't be the hostile environment that he faced in New Orleans. But I do wonder about the anxiety level. I do wonder about his ability to process that as a young quarterback. To me, that's the only thing that makes this a debate. Because I think from a football standpoint, you make every argument. You could talk yourself into seeing where the Rams would have an advantage. I think the Rams could pressure Tom Brady more than other teams because I think Ndamukong Suh in any given play is going to be playoff Sue. And any given play, Aaron Donald is unblockable.
How does it make you feel?
Dante Fowler.
I wanted to ask Brian that because he did talk about, you know, during the regular season when Donald was double teamed, Sue wasn't there. Now he's there. How does it make you feel about Sue? That he is now that the games matter, using air parentheses, mm-hmm. air quotes, now that the games matter, he's ready to play.
Not any different than I felt about him before. I mean, this is the guy who is, if you have a defensive tackle that can be a prima donna, he's it, right? I mean, he's not a guy that you envision as your typical grinder. He's an explosive player. He's a guy that demands your respect. But he's not a guy that you – he's up and down. He's all over the map emotionally.
If you're in the room and you're talking about putting him in the Hall of Fame, great when you want to be. Is that great? Great when, you know, when you acknowledge the difference between regular season me and playoff me, aren't you saying that you're a dog with fleas?
You're saying that you're a player that, you had a switch that you flipped when you needed to, and you didn't always, you weren't always on, you weren't always engaged, you weren't always a guy that you could trust. But in Detroit, he didn't have that problem because he had to be playoff Sue every Sunday because they didn't go to the playoffs. So now he's at the point in his career where he's picking his spots.
It's an interesting career, though, because he was really good in Detroit, and then he goes to—
He's better than that. He was the best at his position.
Okay, and I'm not arguing, but that might have been talent-based and just, you know, all his physical attributes and all. Not necessarily— Like, when we look at great players, we think of them as being, like, ultimate competitors. He has been more of a guy wanting to get paid and get through games. I think he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But I don't like the idea that he's sometimes a great player, that he's saved it up.
But you're arguing two different things.
No, I'm not. I'm arguing the same point. Well, his career.
But I think you're talking about, if you were looking at Ndamukong Suh in the totality of the career, I think you can make the argument that he's a Hall of Famer.
I think you can too.
But I think it's going to take him a while, right?
What's the counter argument?
The fact that he isn't a Hall of Famer, what you just said.
Exactly.
He picked his spots. But I think that in the context of that discussion, yeah, that's a good debate. In the context of Sunday, okay, there's never been a bigger stage.
We'll see playoff Sue.
We're going to see him.
Yes.
He cares about things like legacy. He cares about impact. He cares about making history.
If he plays as he can, then either he or Donald will blow up the game.
That's the thing.
Two guys with the capability.
Where I could see that happening. That's the thing that from a football perspective, you know, Tom Brady hasn't faced this kind of tandem in the playoffs this year, right? That's the thing. That's the reason in Chicago you always felt like the Bears had a chance to get to the NFC Championship game and even to the Super Bowl because of game wreckers on their defense. Those are two game wreckers. Right. And then we haven't even mentioned, I just alluded to him, Dante Fowler is a difference maker.
Playing better.
And he's a guy that now is acclimated to this scheme. Wade Phillips knows how to use him in ways that gets the most out of him. Those three guys.
Who's the other guy? Brockers, right?
Well, Brockers, very good.
He could foul things up for you.
But I think
they will be able to rush with four is my point.
And the memory is seared into your brain like the Von Miller Super Bowl. The guy who reminded you just how much one defensive player, one defensive effort can control a game. That's hard to forget. So I think that, I'm leaning toward the Patriots because of pedigree, because of intangibles, because of mystique, but it's difficult because of all the football factors that make me believe the Rams are capable.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think that they've come through maybe their toughest challenge. I think going into New Orleans and playing in front of that crowd is a really hard thing to do. I think that element won't be there. The coach will be able to talk into the player's headset. They won't have to try to cover the ear holes up. I think it'll be an easier game, believe it or not. And I'm very curious to see if you can win the way that the Patriots win, which is running the ball, again, against guys that are capable of stuffing that.
If the Rams win, who's your MVP? Who has to be the MVP?
Well, that's what I think. I can think of five or six guys. But I think if the Patriots win, it's one guy.
Yep, and no question.
That's why it's weird. Hey, we're going to bring Kyle Rudolph in from the Vikings next. We'll ask him about the game and about his position and about, maybe we'll sneak in a little opinion of the Bears as well.
And a lot of things going on in Minnesota.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. We're going to get to Kyle Rudolph in just a second. We'll squeeze in Jay. He's on the road. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Love the show. Anyways, I think we're overthinking this a lot. I mean, I think it's crazy to sound. I think this kind of sets up for a letdown for the Rams. I think last week was a big game for them, or 2 weeks ago was a big game for them, and also I don't see a key position on the field where the Rams are better. And you could say a defensive line, but Brady's not going to hold that ball longer than 2 or 3 seconds, and Julian Edelman has the surest hands on the field. Gurley's hurt, and C.J. Anderson's Super Bowl was 2 weeks ago. And Jared Goff's going to poop the bed. I mean, I just think that's going to happen.
Well, you know what, Jay? That's interesting because I think Goff is the X factor, certainly, in that discussion. But I would disagree with you in the fact that Patriots or the Rams don't have an advantage at any area because
they've got some advantages. I said to you during the break, though, that I'm talking myself in and out of this all as we go. Let's Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh, that's call the Vikings.
That's right. Let's get out. Let's get out to Kyle Rudolph, the Vikings tight end, is joining us from the Super Bowl. Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Morning, Kyle.
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're a little bit cold, not going to lie. It's a little bit chilly in the Midwest, as you well know.
And, he knows all about that.
Yeah,
you're talking to two guys from Minneapolis, so you can't tell us it's cold.
Yeah, you're there with DC. He's a tech expert. You guys are doing some stuff with Best Buy, right?
Yeah, I'm with my man DQ down here in the tech zone in Atlanta. It's just south by Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and I mean, we got all the greatest technology down here. You know, DQ's the expert when it comes to this stuff, and, you know, he's got an unbelievable setup down here.
Yeah, we got everything down here to get you set up. So, you know, whether it be TV, whether it be audio, or even some smart appliances to get, you know, get everyone fed, we got everything for you here.
Yeah, I read the release here. It talked about a man cave and a she shed. I didn't know about a she shed. I don't personally get a man cave either. I've got three kids, and I don't have control of my life, but we do have a big TV in the house, so that's something, right?
There you go. You got to start, right?
Now we can add the surround sound and the smart lights, and you can create that man cave.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can get some of these small appliances. You got an air fryer. You can get everyone on board with that, right?
I'm heading to Best Buy on the way home. I'll tell you that. All right, guys. So Kyle, help us out. Who do you like in this game, and why?
You know, one of the matchups that I can't wait to watch on Sunday is Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh against the interior offensive lineman of the New England Patriots. You know, you think back to all the Super Bowls that the Patriots have been in. The ones that they have struggled in is because of pressure up the middle. So I got some buddies out on the Rams, former high school teammates, former NFL teammates. So we'll be rooting for the Rams in the Rudolph household. But I've learned throughout my career and the last two decades as a fan, you just don't bet against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
You know, Kyle, I think at the beginning of the season, I was one of those guys that thought you might be there as a player this year. And the Vikings were a team that looked like they had answered all the questions. Kirk Cousins comes in, and things didn't go this season, obviously, the way that you had wanted. When you reflect back on this season for you personally and as a team collectively, where do you think things took a bad turn, and what happened?
Well, it was definitely disappointing. You know, when you're 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and then you don't live up to expectations. You know, obviously you mentioned the addition of Kirk Cousins. We get Dalvin Cook back healthy, and we had a lot of pieces returning from the year previous. So disappointing season in the fact that we didn't meet expectations. With that being said, you know, especially being down here, being around the Super Bowl, I believe that will motivate us to get back to where we were in 2017. And, you know, that's playing with a chip on our shoulder and feeling like we have something to prove, like we did all year in 2017.
He's Kyle Rudolph, tight end for the Minnesota Vikings, and, of course, a former Notre Dame star and a guy that is up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. What does that mean to you, Kyle? I mean, it's really quite an honor because it involves your teammates as well.
Yeah, no, it is an unbelievable honor. And, you know, it's great to have success on the field. But the success on the field gives you a platform to do good off the field. And, you know, this is an award that recognizes things that you've done both on and off the field. So being nominated, it's an incredible honor because so many of my teammates are doing great things off the field in the Twin Cities. And to be this year's Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for the Minnesota Vikings is an incredible honor. And my wife, Jordan, and I are extremely humbled by it.
You know, Kyle, here in Chicago, obviously the Bears surprised a lot of people, and I think around the league the level of surprise was as well. Have to get your perspective on what your reaction was when you saw the Bears as good as they were this year, 12-4, NFC North champs. And, I mean, that was a team that you guys handled pretty well up until this season. What do you think they did right, and how difficult was it to prepare for that defense?
Well, I mean, talking about that defense, even the year prior, I believe, when you were 3-13, that defense was still a top 10 defense in the NFL. And then you add an addition like a first round pick, Roquan Smith, you bring in Khalil Mack, you're adding two Pro Bowl caliber players to a defense that was already in the top 10 in the NFL. So, that defense was really, really good. You know, obviously you add some pieces over on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, they had a great football team. You know, you got to give them credit. Coach Nagy had those guys playing really, really well. And, you know, they may have surprised some people outside of football, but people that really know the game and study that team, you know, when you got a defense like that, you're going to be in a lot of football games.
When you see a team trade for a guy like Mack and they're in the division, do you say, boy, I can't wait for my turn to block that guy?
Yeah, no, it was nice when he was in Oakland. I only saw him once every 4 years. Now I'm seeing him twice a year.
Yeah, I got to tell you, up till that point, I thought they might be okay, but he took them to a different level, and certainly there are some great players in the division and new coaches and a lot of interesting things happening. We'll see how it plays out, but this is – it's interesting to hear you talk about what you guys are expecting because, you know, the Bears are – they feel like they're kind of the Rams of this year. You know, they have a young quarterback. They've kind of waited their turn, and they're thinking they might head to the Super Bowl, and it doesn't – always work out that way, but it's going to be a good battle in the division.
Yeah, no, it's always fun playing in the NFC North. With Aaron in Green Bay, you always know they're going to be tough. You guys got a great team in Chicago, and, you know, Detroit's figuring things out. You know, Matt Stafford's a great quarterback, and they're starting to add some pieces on defense. So
it's always a fun division to play in. Obviously, a ton of history and tradition in our division.
And in your division, it's going to have a different look in Minneapolis. Gary Kubiak is joining the coaching staff, and Mike Zimmer brought him in. And Gary Kubiak has a Super Bowl ring, has a ton of respect as a head coach. He's going to serve in an advisory role. I don't know what that means yet, Kyle, but how excited are you about the possibilities, and what do you know about Gary?
I'm incredibly excited. You know, I've been a fan of this team far longer than a player, and I've seen the success that he had in Houston over the years. Obviously, led the Denver Broncos to a Super Bowl a couple of years back. His tight ends have had a lot of success, so obviously I'm excited about that. So I look forward to the addition that he brings to our offense and the ability that he'll have to guide a young play caller in Kevin Stefanski.
And Kyle, your position has become a really vogue one in the NFL. We've seen a lot of great players at the tight end position, and it's obviously, when you look at defenses and you talk about rule changes and different things, it's a great way to attack a lot of things defenses are doing. You look at this game, you know, Gronkowski's talking about retirement, which wouldn't shock anyone if he decides to walk away. How important is that position in this game, and how much have you seen the revolution of it in the league?
Well, it's been a lot of fun. I talk about, as a kid, watching Jason Witten and Tony Gonzalez play the position and really revolutionize the position and change the position from, you know, just an inline blocker to a guy who can really be a difference maker in the pass game. And there's a lot of guys in our league right now that are playing at a high level. And, you know, it's gone from just a couple guys that would go out and catch 80, 90 balls a year. Now we've got, you know, Zach Ertz set the record for receptions in a season this year with well over 100. And there's all kinds of guys playing at a high level. It's such a mismatch opportunity when you use tight ends. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, like I said, working with Coach Kubiak and, you know, hopefully get some more opportunities in the pass game and create a little bit more production out of the tight end room than we had last year.
So what are you doing this week in Atlanta, Kyle, as a Man of the Year nominee? Are you exposed to a lot of legends? Are you going to a lot of parties? How are you spending your time?
Well, right now I'm spending my time in the tech zone down here with Best Buy, just outside the stadium. So, you know, we got a busy morning here checking out all the latest and greatest technology. And then obviously we got a ton of stuff for the Walton Payton Man of the Year.
Great stuff, Kyle. Congratulations. It's great talking to you. And, yeah, I'm going to swing by Best Buy on the way home. Why not buy something for the house now that we've got a Super Bowl party coming?
Good idea.
Right?
Enjoy your week.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, DQ. He's the tech expert.
He's the tech guy.
Stop sure by Dairy Queen on the way home.
It's nice that we had him there to make sure we had a good connection.
That's what will happen. The only thing that will stick in my head will be DQ, and I'll go to Dairy Queen instead of going to Best Buy. And I'll come home with ice cream, and everyone will look at me like, are you insane?
Well, at least you know, like, if you picked up food on the way home, you have to worry about, like, it would get cold. At least the ice cream would be
point.
At the proper temperature. So
yeah, I don't know if you saw, but my water was frozen.
I did
frozen.
Notice that.
Yeah.
That happened on the way down?
No, I left it overnight. I had a couple of waters in the car. I knew it was an error, and I was going to go back out and get it, and I thought, I don't want to go back out.
Yeah, then you would have been frozen.
Yeah. I slept in the
it's
car.
It's colder today. I'm telling you, it's
well,
colder
it's
today.
Well, it's cold. It makes sense that it'd be colder today because we've had a day of it. The cold is
not
it,
if the temperature says
it's not just new.
The thermometer was lower yesterday, right? I mean, I'm looking at now it's...
Again, it's like the stats versus like the real feel,
yeah.
Right? I mean, listen, ooh. I think we're all in agreement. We all felt it was worse coming down today than
yes.
yesterday.
Dustin found a way to use the weather to take a shot.
Minus 25 versus minus 22 versus minus 23.
You found a way to take the weather as a shot at the analytics community.
What is the sabermetrics, Kevin, of the weather?
We can find out at 8:58.
You know, here's the problem. Okay, that's my last thought on the weather. But when you're in the negatives... Like when you're really talking about, well, it's, you know, it's going to go up to minus 13 later today. That doesn't, you know, tomorrow it could
What's
be zero.
Difference? What's
what
the difference?
What the hell? That's like the cruelest
thing. Now you can be outside
ever.
For 10 minutes instead of 5.
Exactly. Yeah. So whatever. You
know, tomorrow's going to be 21. It's balmy.
Is it really 21?
Yeah. It's going to be a high of 1
and
today.
And then it's going to be, it's with the wind chill factor, right? If you count that.
Feels like.
It feels
let's
like.
Let's go feels
okay,
like.
Okay. If you count the feels like. There's going to be an 80-degree difference from Wednesday to Sunday. 80 degrees.
Monday, 51 with thunderstorms. So in case somebody was wondering if climate change was a real thing.
There will be people golfing on Monday.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. All right. we'll get some REM sleep then, pal. Mully and Haw on the score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.